not what you look like. When you're doing what you're doing, it's what you're doing. When you're doing what you look like you're doing, express yourself.
That's right. It's here on Express Yourself here on KDNK. Every Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. brought to you by the Carbondale Creative District, preserving the creative ethos of Carbondale through advocacy, support, and action. I'm your host today, Brian Colley, and this show is brought to you by the Carbondale Creative District. Each week on Express Yourself, we'll feature all things culture and creativity in and around the Roaring Fork Valley, from visual artists and makers to performing artists and musicians and beyond. A little later on today's show, we'll have Michael Stout joining us to talk all things Carbondale Creative District, including a visit from some local sculptors, perhaps Brad Reed Nelson, perhaps Chris Erickson will be in the house a little later on. Plus, an update on some news from Carbondale Arts and holiday events and other artist opportunities going on there. But first up, we're going to hear about the Holiday Invitational Show up at the Carbondale Clay Center with an opening tonight. So we'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. All right. Thanks for joining us on this very cool and snow-sleety Friday afternoon, November 8th, as we head sort of into some holiday things already happening, whether you are into that or not. But please welcome Matt Johnson. How's it going, Matt?
Good. Good afternoon.
Let me make sure I have your mic set up. Thanks for joining us on Express Yourself today and talking with us about the Carbondale Clay Center event that's coming up. Is it opening tonight, or is that kind of already been going on for a little bit?
No, the official opening is tonight from 6 to 8 p.m.
Perfect.
There will be refreshments and snacks. And
that's good.
And lots of ceramic arts by local and national artists.
How did this, or actually I want to start with your role. What's your role at the Clay Center these days?
Consistently evolving. right now I'm technically the studio coordinator, but I'm generally loading and firing kilns and doing some teaching. And but, you know, we're a small crew over there, so we all do a little of everything, mopping floors and hanging posters or whatever, putting up Christmas lights.
I know how that is with the nonprofit. But you've kind of been involved with the clay world for a little while, right?
I have, yeah. And, you know, on and off with the Carbondale Clay Center in varying proximity. Mm-hmm. I was actually, interestingly enough, I was present in the room or in Diane Kenny's studio when she came in and said she was having a, you know, a meeting about starting this Carbondale Clay Center way back in 96.
So, you were there.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I was pretty young.
Yeah. And that was over 25 years ago, right?
Is it? It was, yeah.
I can't remember
27
what.
27 now? 26? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us a little bit about how the Holiday Invitational Show came together? I assume that there's some invitations that go out for an invitational show, but how do you choose, or how does the team there choose who participates in this exhibition?
And I have to, I do have to clarify that I'm not part of that team, so I don't know all the information, but it is our annual invitational. Invitations are sent out, so it's not necessary. It's not a juried show. It's kind of preset. The invitations go out to different artists. There are a lot of repeat artists every year, but it's annual. Typically it's half local artists and half, national artists. This year it's a little more, slanted towards the local artists, but there are national artists as well.
Yeah. I was looking down the list and recognized several names, mostly the local people, but, some folks I know who have moved away maybe and are back again for this show, which is exciting. Like Stuart Gare, I just remember Stuart. He was at Saw for a little bit. And I see your name on the list. You're in this show, which is cool.
Yes.
Yeah. What kind of work do you have in this show?
This show, all my work is functional. Actually, pretty much all the work is functional in the show. So it tends to be slanted towards holiday gifts. Mm-hmm. You know, anything from smaller cups that are, you know, a good price point to larger pieces. Mm-hmm. And so my work is all functional work, some cups, some pitchers, some bowls, things like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is there any particular piece in this show by another artist maybe that you're excited about?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's on our website, but Stuart Gare had a decanter that I really loved that actually sold today.
Oh, wow.
It already sold before opening. So it's not there.
It's a cash and carry show too.
It is a cash and carry show. Yes. So, you know, we'll restock, but he had one of those. So,
right.
That one's gone.
Well, that's a good reminder actually, because if you want to see all the work, it's good to go early because it's a lot, probably like one of a kind pieces, I assume.
Yeah. And because of the number of artists and then the smaller size of the gallery, no one artist has a ton of work in there. You know, it's a fairly limited collection.
Yeah. Well, and you know most of these artists, is that right? I have the list here if you need to.
Yeah, I know most of them, at least by name. But
I know Molly Altman is one of the current residents, and she's got some work in this.
She does.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Eames, obviously, and Gabby, a previous
previous
resident. Stephen Colby, who's, a resident from the early days and is teaching there again now. And Ann Goldberg, Frank McGurk, Ashara Sweeney, Sahara Ramirez. So those are all locals that I see regularly. And then, of course, Stuart Gare, who, as you said, was a local at one point, does really, really beautiful and original work. Nancy Barber, as well, was also a resident artist in the early years, like in the first 4 years or so.
Wow, she's been involved for a while then.
She's California-based now, but she does really beautiful surface decoration on her pots.
Yeah.
And then Stephanie Seguin and Alex Watson. So there's a total of 12 artists. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I love Ishara Sweeney's work. I follow her on Instagram. She's a local artist, but she just has this wicked sense of humor. And her style is so, I don't know, identifiable and just this illustrative quality that she has with... She's drawing animals and sayings on her mugs. And
yeah, a lot of text that can't be actually uttered on the public radio, but really, really great. You know, her stuff, there's another example. A few of hers already sold today, too.
Like wow.
One that I had my eye on, so I learn the hard lesson every year.
No, she sells really fast. I think she's one of those artists you see on Instagram that as soon as she posts something, it's just gone, you know, which is good.
Yeah.
So the Holiday Invitational is up now through, how long does it run?
So it runs, now, this evening is the opening, 6 to 8 p.m. till December 21st.
Okay.
So it's really geared towards holiday gifts.
Awesome.
And so people can come in during business hours, which is generally 10 to 5, Saturdays 11 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And find things. And it will be changing. It will be restocked as things sell. So
cool.
It's worth, you know, coming and returning maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. Is the art stream part of that, or is that kind of its own separate gallery? Because I know you have that outside, out front.
Yeah. The art stream is not part of this show, although many of the artists in this show also have stuff represented in the art stream.
Okay.
But the art stream is just our store, basically. Yeah. That's always there.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty handy.
So it is. The Holiday Invitational obviously is a limited show, and stuff was given for that. Whereas the art stream is just kind of a permanent revolving collection.
And what can you tell us about the cup auction? Because that's a separate thing from the Holiday Invitational.
Yes.
Not to be confused with.
Correct. Cup auction is really fun. There's, you know, usually anywhere between 200 and 300 cups.
Yeah.
Donated by national artists, sometimes international artists. And so it's a huge collection, but it's, you know, solely cup themed, which is really fun to walk into a room with that many and, you know, go and pick them up. That is happening first Friday of December, December 6th. And we're bringing it back to Main Street. The last few years, it's been Third Street Center.
Right.
So it's going to be at the Marble Distillery.
Oh, fun. Wow.
So just across the street from the Clay Center. And there will be it's going to be one night only. We used to do a members preview the night before. Now there's still a members preview from 5 to 6:30 mm-hmm. p.m. And then it'll go into the public viewing from 6:30 to 8:30 or 9:00.
Right.
And so that's a really fun event.
Yeah. No, I always love going to the cup auction and just there's so many. When you live in a small town like this and you start getting to know the artists and you start recognizing their style and mm-hmm. there's just so many different funky things in that show. It's super fun and inspiring.
Yeah. And given the number of cups in that show, that show is actually kind of the opposite. It's a majority national artists.
Okay.
Because there's only so many local ceramic artists. So
right.
It's, that has just such a good kind of swath of ceramic artists from all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to have cups in that? Are you starting to make
I always
stuff?
Put, well, right now it'd be a little too late to start. Well, maybe not, but,
so that's right.
But
the
yes,
ceramic timeline.
I will have things in there. I have one, I will have one like sculptural piece that involves a cup, for the first time for this show.
Okay.
So that's kind of exciting. And then I'll have a normal, cup.
Yeah.
Cup.
Well, lots of fun things happening at the Clay Center then. Any other exciting news or thing like classes you know about or things just to be
We're in the middle of our current class offering. We'll end the couple of weeks after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And then there'll be a break just because of the holidays and people being away. And our winter session will begin in late January.
Okay, yeah.
All of our classes generally run 8 weeks, actually, 7 classes over 8 weeks. There's usually mm-hmm. a break week in there. So that the winter registration will be going out in the first 2 weeks of December. It'll be sent out the week before to members, and then mm-hmm. And that first, I believe it's December 3rd, but I'm not.
Okay.
But only members would get that email, and then we'll go out the following week to the public.
Hint, hint, if you want to get that email. There's just something about winter, like ceramic classes, that I love. And I feel like that's the only time I've taken them at the Clay Center, because when I have free time, but it's just like a quiet time of year to just make, just be somewhere creative and make something and try your hand at something that you might not know how to make, but I don't know, there's something meditative about throwing on the wheel or just working with clay in general. It's like the hands-on, tactile.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that winter lends itself, especially in northern climates, to kind of, inner qualities and introspection. And mm-hmm. I think any creative expression is good during that period of time. But mm-hmm. ceramics definitely lends itself. It's just kind of grounding, literally, because you're working with the earth. And and there's, inward centering and all of that. I would fully agree with you that ceramics is a really nice thing to do in the winter.
Yeah. Well, we should do a pitch for you. How can people learn more about you and your work, Matt?
Well, you can go to carbonoclay.org and look through, the local staff and artists. I have Matt Johnson Clay and Wood .com is my website.
Cool.
And my Instagram call. So, or just swing by and see my work either in the Airstream or in the current exhibition.
How often are you at the Clay Center in case people want to come say hi?
Lot these days.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm there all the time. I'm technically not really there Mondays and Thursdays, but I tend to be there anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, carbondoclay.org is the website, and you guys are open, is it weekdays from?
Weekdays from 10 to 5.
Okay.
Saturdays from 11 to 4.
11 to 4.
As far, that's the office hours when people can come in and purchase things. And And then, I would be remiss not to send out a really deep, heartfelt thanks to our current sponsors. So we always have kind of two different sponsors. We have the current exhibition sponsor, which for this show is Ann Harris.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you, Ann Harris.
Yeah.
And then our gallery sponsor, which kind of runs the whole year and sometimes multiple years, which is right now is First Bank and Slifer Smith in Frampton. So
okay, great.
Thank you to them as well.
Keeping the creative engine rolling over at the Clay Center. That's
yes.
great.
Yeah.
And of course, come tonight from 6 to 8.
Yeah, come by. I know it's cold, but it'll be nice in there and we'll have some refreshments and some really nice pottery to look at.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Matt. Thanks for swinging by Express Yourself. Hope you guys listening out there will want to come support the Clay Center and all you guys do. It's really an important thing to do these days just to have creative things in your life like that. So,
indeed.
Thanks for all you do, Matt.
Thank you, Brian.
Back here on Express Yourself with some new special guests in the studio. Why don't I turn your microphones on? Michael Stout's here, the Carbondale Arts Community Engagement Director. Is that the official
title? Wow, Brian.
Look at me. Impressed. Go. Did have to look that up. But nonprofits, you do everything. Just like, I mean, Matt Johnson was just saying he wears so many hats, so we all do so many things. But it's good to...
It's because his head gets cold.
I'm a fan of hats.
Yeah, looks like everyone here has a hat on. What do you know?
Right.
And we have Brad Reed Nelson and Chris Erickson in the house as well, because we're going to talk about Gateway Park art. Michael, do you want to talk about what the Gateway Park project is?
Give a little introduction with these guys.
Yeah.
Talk about their pieces. You guys have probably seen the murals as you're coming into town at the new storage units. That is the project that we were fortunate enough to be involved in. Carbondale Arts was kind of the managing organization of the public art that got installed there as part of that development. The architects and developers who came up with that plan decided that there was some value to integrate art into that, and the town supported that, and they talked to Carbondale Arts and Amy Kimberly and figured out a way that we could be the kind of managing organization for the installations. And a couple years ago, we started the process of putting a call out there for the muralists and the sculptors, and with a review committee, kind of narrowed that down and did the mural installations in the summer. And just yesterday, we're able to get three new sculptures in the ground from three local artists. So just super excited.
Wow. Because the muralists kind of did their process, was that in May or?
The painting happened in June.
June. Okay. And then we've kind of been a long drum roll from June until now to reveal these three sculptures.
Perfection.
That's right. That's part of the art process, after all. So yeah, why don't you, and we've got Leah Agutter is the third sculptor who is not able to be here today, but we're happy to have Chris and Brad. Do you want to just tell us, if people haven't seen the sculptures yet, because they just got installed yesterday, like afternoon, so it's been like about 24 hours they've even been in the public eye. Do you guys just want to talk about what they are and how you came up with them and your process behind it, and do you have a title for them?
Or
like, okay, turn your microphone off right now.
Chris, you go first.
Is that what this is about?
Brad needs a minute to decide what the title is.
That's it. Could be untitled. No one likes that, though.
No. It's going to be more like The Doors. The Doors.
Okay.
So my piece is called Flower Power, and it pays homage to the flower as a form and all of its applications and beauty. So I don't think there's any super specific inspiration other than always growing and always staying positive and reaching upward and honoring our lands that we so appreciate around here.
Yeah, if you know Chris Erickson's work, I feel like your style is pretty recognizable, and you had a show at Carbondale Arts this past year, and I feel like that symbol of the flower you've had in your work for a while, along with like molecule shapes, and this is a very simple sort of like graphic shape you have, and it's made out of just steel. Is that it?
It is. Yep, mild steel, welded steel, powder coated. That's right.
Awesome.
And bolted together. Yeah.
You just built that right at your studio, at your house.
We did.
Wow.
We built it up the studio, and we had to, I couldn't physically fit inside of it, so I had to get
to like weld the inside shut
Not
or something?
Weld it, but bolt the two members together.
Oh.
So luckily, my assistant's a little bit smaller than I am, so I could shove them in there and pull
them
out.
Was that your one-year-old child?
It was not my one-year-old child. Yeah, she can't operate a ratchet wrench yet, or she would have been in there. No, I mean, it was my assistant, Chad, so he was...
Oh, yeah.
He was... he took one for the team with that one, because it was not a real pleasant experience.
What's the hazard pay increase at your studio?
Threefold with that. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
That's solid.
Just wrote him a check today.
Well, Chad, way to go, Chad.
Yeah, you got that right.
That's cool. And how tall is this thing? I think it's saw
8 feet.
8?
8 feet. 96 inches by about 40 inches wide.
Wow.
10 inches deep.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. How about you, Brad?
It's true. It's still yet to be determined name. It is something soon.
Okay.
So I've been playing with this palette form for a while. I think palettes are an interesting thing that we all interact with. You see them stacked everywhere. They're disposable, but they come from an important natural resource. And but yet we treat them as a one-directional object. So you cut down a tree wherever that shipping container is getting built or that shipping crate's getting built. So it could be oak. Around here it's going to be pine. South America it could be teak. Then you put the goods on it and you ship it over, and then that becomes waste. And I'm always kind of amazed by that. You do see people repurpose them, which is lovely. But then I also think about the relationship of the goods that were made in that country and how we're happy to have the goods, but we're not happy to have the people that made those goods. So it's an interesting relationship. And then there's a cinder block in there. And in this situation, the cinder block's representing the sun. So the stack of pilots is in a color from earth tones up to the sky. And the idea is it's each pilot kind of represents different portions of the earth. There's one vertical pilot that's dark green that represents trees. And again, cinder blocks are another earth's commodity. It's concrete, so it's lime and sediment. And so it's funny because I think of them as very earthy things, even though, it's kind of like when people say, I'm only into earth colors. And you're like, you mean like parrotfish or violets? Because those are earth tones.
Yeah, where does color come from?
So, and then, I love color. It has joy in it. And I also, my relationship with my wife and daughter, we almost always have a powder coat color book on the table. And we're always talking about some project and what colors it's going to be. And my daughter used to think it was annoying. And now she thinks it's one of the really cool, unique things about us.
Mm-hmm.
And so she associates that and like dinner and matching colors to each other and deciding. So it's part of my relationship.
Now, the palettes you're talking about that you made for the sculpture are not made out of wood, though.
They are not. They are made out of exceptionally mild steel to Chris's mild steel.
Right. So that sounds like a cheese.
Or maybe it's mild-mannered steel, but they are steel because wood is a little quicker to deteriorate on the earth.
Right.
So these are representative, and they're also line drawings of palettes. So they're interpretive, like the interpretive dances I like to do.
Well, you have to think about how the sculpture is going to be outside and the weather and all that. So was the line element kind of a thought behind that instead of just using like planks of steel? Or maybe it's a cost element too because less steel.
I've been playing with the idea of line. I started with a very functional object, the knuckle that we make. And years ago, did a line drawing of it, turned it into a logo. And my version of Photoshop is I build a sculpture and then I take tons of pictures of it at different angles. And then I'm like, oh, I like that one. Literally, that's how Anna and I came up with that knuckle.
Oh, cool.
I made a three-dimensional one.
Yeah.
That's how Photoshop talented we are. And then I kept playing with that idea. I really like the outside form of things. So it's, again, just kind of this line quality, this drawing quality that I like.
Yeah. And I should – oh, sorry.
I was just going to – talk a little bit about Leah's piece because I think it kind of rounds
out
the
Leah.
Whole piece.
Now, Brad.
You do it well. One of the things that we thought about with this project is, how do we include a lot of distinct styles of art, and took a lot of care to kind of curate what that could look like and be thoughtful about what's represented there. And, some of that was very intentional, but I think the synergy that happened when we got the sculptures in place yesterday just felt really, really great, because I think everything responds to the murals. They kind of talk to each other and create a really great kind of atmosphere for different types and styles and concepts around the art. And Leah's piece, I think, is special in that she does some 3D scans of the landscape. So she went out to Red Hill and scanned the terrain there, and then did some 3D printing of those, and then was able to send those out, have those cast in a bronze, mm-hmm. and then stitch those together to create these forms.
Wow.
And so there's kind of an armature that holds those forms. So it's just really beautiful, and I think it's great to kind of know the inside story of how that came to be. And one of the things that when we were out there yesterday looking at how each of things were being positioned, it kind of happened a little organically, but Brad had a piece on his where it kind of scopes the top of Sopris. And when we kind of got Chris's piece out there and looked at it, we thought, oh, what if it's just a little off kilter? And then when Leah put hers there, it also felt right to just have it a little bit off kilter and not mm-hmm. straight against the street or mm-hmm. the path. And so everything has this kind of orientation to Sopris, just kind of organically. And it feels really, really great that there's something beyond the site that's kind of orienting things there. It's just really cool to see how all that came together.
Can I make an observation that just dawned on me? My neighbor and friend Jennifer Roberts said yesterday that Chris's piece is the one that you really notice as you're driving by, and then it pulls your eye over there, and then you see the other two. And the thing that I think I just kind of recognized in thinking about Leah's piece and thinking about my piece and Chris's is Chris's maybe is more easily understood from the road, and so it pulls you in that way. And I think mine probably plays better at 25 feet, and Leah's plays better really intimately because of those scans mm-hmm. and that intimacy of the rock she creates mm-hmm. that you are going to miss out if you don't go right up to that thing. And so it's interesting because I think we all have there's like a different point where each one plays, and that we kind of suck you in from Chris's to mine to Leah's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, and I look forward to everyone taking the time to get down that bike path and actually get close. So.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know where the Gateway Park is, it's over on 133, kind of on the north side of town of Carbondale, kind of towards Garcia's Market, I guess. And it's very accessible if you're on the bike path or at Rafta. There's a new sidewalk that goes right to the park, and so you can see the murals up close and these new sculptures right up close. And there's even lighting on the murals and I believe on the sculptures now. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
They look really nice.
Michael, can you talk about kind of the commission process for these? I know there was a selection committee, but also, and for the murals as well, and then maybe something about if you could talk about the long-term plan for how mm-hmm. this place will kind of evolve over the years.
Yeah. Well, we did a request for qualifications, so we weren't asking artists to necessarily design something for this space on that first stage. We really wanted to respect artists' time and get them to submit works that they have created already, and to just understand kind of what their body of work looks like, what their qualifications were, if they were able to execute at this level and of quality and scale and mm-hmm. make stuff that was for the outdoors. We had over 130 submissions when we looked at murals and sculptors together. So it was a really great representation of that. And then we went through a jury process with a review committee to kind of narrow that field down. And then once we selected the muralists and sculptors, it was a matter of a kind of a design process where they proposed some ideas kind of based on what their like written descriptions were in their initial proposals. And we really wanted it to be artist driven. I think that rather than have an approach where we figured out a theme or what the subject matter or color should be, we wanted to really honor the artist's intentions and their work. So that was kind of the commissioning process.
Yeah. Well, it's just really cool to have, I mean, there are so many local creatives in this valley, and I know the muralists, there's one out of the five who's a local, and that was a mix because we didn't have a lot of local entries for that, but it's also nice to connect our community to artists working outside the valley just to kind of have that exposure and just connecting our community with other communities. But I'm really excited for the three of you with Leah.
Thank you.
Just to be part of that kind of entry to town, to Carbondale, and yeah.
Yeah. And then you asked, you know, moving forward, this project is great because as part of the agreement with the development, that property will continue to allocate a percentage of the revenue. It's 1% that will go towards art on that site in perpetuity. So as we continue to see what that looks like, it's, you know, it's only been open for a short time, so we don't know kind of exactly what that's going to look like, but the funding will continue to build and we'll be able to create more opportunities for more artists. So it's great.
Yeah.
You want to say something else? You have that look.
So I just assume you have something else going on in that brain of yours, Brad.
So one thing I want to say is it's a real honor to be part of this project. I think that there are 8 beautiful pieces of art. That's me saying I actually like mine, by the way.
That's okay.
There are 8 beautiful pieces of art, and it's just a really, you know, we've been having a high level of art here in this town for so long, and then I really think this is an amazing culmination. I'm really honored to be part of it.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, thank you, Michael, and thank you, Carbondale Arts, and thank you, Amy, when you started this, and
Amy's listening. I bet she's at home. She had shoulder surgery.
Oh,
so
good
she's
luck
out today, sure. But yeah, but yeah, she's listening in.
Heal fast, and then
shout out to Amy and Andy Korber, who
Andy
Korber yeah. Shelter was yeah. a huge part of that as well.
Nice. All right, we'll say nice things about Andy from now on too. And one last thing I forgot to point out on my sculpture is when you go see it, there's an angle that features Sopris that go find and discover.
That's part of the sculpture. That's
part
not,
of the sculpture.
Oh, yeah. Not just if you look at Sopris through the sculpture, something else.
Something Pacific. No, wait, specific.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Chris?
Oh, I just wanted to express like sincere gratitude to Carbondale Arts, Michael, and the process. And it means a lot for myself being a local to have my work represented here. I can't really understate it. For any stage of your career and making, it's always an honor to have, you know, your town and people recognize your talents and want to look at that for the next whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you two have both had work in like the CPAC Carbondale Public Arts Commission. Brad, you had the knuckles, I think, right in front of Town Hall. And Chris had the giant headphones. You're wearing small headphones today, but you had some giant ones that are now outside of 6 Productions.
Yeah, that right.
And those were great experiences.
Yeah.
Those were about so it. You've seen their works. If you don't know Brad and Chris, you've definitely seen
them. We've been exposing ourselves for years. And it is. This town, this town so supports their local artists. We are so fortunate to get to be here.
Yay, Carbondale.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you guys have any fun art projects on the horizon for you guys?
I have a really cool commission I'm working on right now that's it's in the same linear vein, and it's this bar and bar stools where the top will be stone and it'll be all these soft cornered rectangles stacked on each other. And then I'm doing this process that I've never done that our mentor and friend Teresa Booth Brown turned us on to. Spoon flower, you can take a picture of something and they'll print it on a linen or other fabric.
Oh, right.
So I'm going to take the stone top, photograph it, and then the cushions will look like stone, but you don't really want to sit on stone. You want to sit on squishiness. So these will. So I'm excited about that. I've never done that before.
That's cool.
So.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Thanks, Brad.
I just wrapped up a really fun collaborative project with a friend of mine, Jeremy Wusso, who's a bag maker. He makes bike bags and frame bags.
Cool.
So I silk screened some molecules on some fabric, passed it to him, and then he just delivered me the coolest frame bag for my mountain bike. So awesome. I'm a big bike enthusiast here. So that
keep
was,
an eye out.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Nice. So,
yeah. Is he going to offer those that design to others?
We'll see. It's a limited edition.
One of one.
Of the prints. No, maybe more than that. Yeah.
Sounds really cool.
How can people learn more about each of you and then commission you for a $1 million art project in the near future?
I'm pretty booked right now.
You're like, no, thanks.
Yeah. I remember when $1 million was a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
billion,
what a latte
put
costs
a B
now.
On there.
Yeah, it's a latte. boardbydesign.com.
Excellent.
Or Brad Reed Nelson or... If you just shoot a flare into the air, I'll call you.
Okay. Look for that.
Yeah, I'm ericsonchris.com or chriserickson.art on Instagram.
Excellent. And Leah.
Oh, follow us on Instagram, please.
Yeah, follow. Yes. Give a follow.
Stalk us.
And shout out to Leah Agutter again. I know she's on all the social media, and I'm sure she has a cool
LeahAgutter.com.
She's so talented. Let's just acknowledge. Yeah. Like, Leah is on fire right now. The quality of work she is doing is so high, and she is on an amazing trajectory. So
yeah, we're lucky to have her here.
We really are.
All right. Well, thanks, all of you. We're gonna. I'm gonna play a song by Mississippi John Hurt. Make me a pallet on your floor. Here for Brad Nelson.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us.
You bet.
Make me down, pat it on your floor. Make me down, make me a pat it down, soft and low. Make me a pallet on your floor. Up the country, 40 miles or more. I'm going to the country. Mighty cold, steed and snow. I'm going up the country, mighty cold, steed and snow. I'm telling how much further I may go. Just make me down. Make me down. Make me a pallet down, soft and low. Make me a pallet on your floor. Well, I'm sleeping, my back and shoulders tied. I'm sleeping, my back and shoulders tired. Be away, I'm sleeping, my back and shoulders tired. Gonna turn over and try it on the side. Oh, make me down. Make me down. Make me a pallet down, soft and low. Make me a pallet on your floor.
Are tuned in to Express Yourself here on KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, serving Glenwood Springs, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. And I'm Brian Colley here, still on Express Yourself, yes, Friday afternoon, every Friday, 4 to 5. I was just going to read through some upcoming events that you don't want to miss. You've already heard about the Clay Center event tonight. But the Cooper Gallery in Glenwood Springs hosts a grand opening celebration at its new location, 718 Cooper Avenue, from 4 to 7 tonight. The Art Base in Basalt closes out Jody Stewart's exhibit Toxic Positivity with Black Lights and an artist talk from 5:30 to 6:30. The North American singer-songwriter Zachary Averill performs at Heather Savory Pies from 6:30 to 9:30. Let's see, there's something up in Aspen at the Community Theater. They have a production of the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, continuing this weekend, tonight at 7:30 p.m., tomorrow at 2, and 7:30, and then Sunday at 2. Tickets at Aspen Community Theater with an R-E. www.takaw.org. Takaw presents a local comedy show tonight at 8 p.m. Tickets at takaw.org. Moving into Saturday, tomorrow, November 9th. Did you know that the Christmas boutique at the Carbondale Firehouse is happening already? It's the 48th annual year with artisans selling various bits and bobs from 8 to 3. So check that out if you're out and about tomorrow and Saturday. And let's see, Glenwood Vaudeville Review has the Warren Miller Movie Fest tomorrow night, 6:30. That sounds kind of cool. There's all kinds of stuff. Just check out the Soper Sun, because that's what I'm referring to right now. All right. I'm going to turn this music down and bring back special guest Michael Stout. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Brian. Speaking of hats.
There's your hat. Well, you have a different hat on. It's your Carbondale Creative District hat.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of had it on earlier. But there's so much happening and so many cool things to be a part of with the Carbondale Creative District. We just wrapped up our 20th celebration of Dia de los Muertos just last Friday, a week ago, which was a big one.
Yeah, I imagine most of your listeners might have been there. It was an amazing celebration. I feel like this is one of those first Friday events that continues to grow. It's just such a lovely kind of representation of our cultural heritage here in the community. You know, I can't give enough credit to Paco from Aspen Santa Fe Ballet Folklorico program. Every year just puts on such an amazing production with the costume and the dance. It just sets that off. And then, you know, shouts out to Judith Alvarez from SANA, who helps with the community ofrenda. Amy has had a big part in that from the beginning when this started at the Third Street Center. The Roaring Fork Youth Orchestra and Mezcla Social Dance just really brought so much energy on Friday. And was, you know, looking at kind of the crowd, it just felt bigger. And we're fortunate enough to have a little bit of insight and just noticed that with our data that we have that that 3 years ago it was something like 3,800 people, and this past Friday was almost 4,600 people. So it was almost a 30% increase over the bigger.
It felt big. Yeah, there was. I mean, I didn't get to see the processional from Third Street into town, but I got glimpses out into the night, looking out from the launch pad, and just a sea of people celebrating such a, I mean, incredible dances and performing and there were food trucks and just so much for everyone.
Yeah, and there's so many different things going on. The library had a number of events, and I feel like it was just a really great showing of the community and all the different organizations. So
yeah,
it was great.
We'll do it again next year.
We should. We'll figure out when.
Well, shit. let's see what else. What else you got going on in your many
creative district
hats?
Wise, there's a lot going on. I think you know, there's, you mentioned a lot of these events coming up. There's also a number of kind of artist opportunities that are out there. As you know well, the Valley Visual Show has its applications open right now. That deadline is December 2nd, so it'll be here before you know it. So if you're an artist who want to have a piece in that show, I encourage you to get those applications in. Designer applications for the fashion show are up and open.
That's right.
Those close December 4th. So again, happening pretty quickly.
Fashion show isn't until March, but you got to get your designer application.
Correct.
Soon.
Exactly.
Got it.
And then another things, we had a great meeting earlier this week with the Creative District collaborators and Main Street businesses to talk about this idea of a kind of holiday celebration on December 21st. Coincides with the winter solstice. The idea there is just to have another excuse to bring community together around creativity, support local businesses, support local artists, We know there are a lot of people throughout this valley looking for those last-minute holiday gifts, and so if we can create some activities and happenings in town here in the heart of the Creative District, we hope we can kind of bring more people here to support what we have going on.
Excellent. Yeah, holidays are upon us almost.
Yeah, coming fast.
Speaking of holidays, I want to do a little plug for Deck the Walls, which opens to, well, Carbondale Arts members next Thursday evening. So if you're a member of Carbondale Arts or aspiring member, Thursday evening from about 5 to 7, come on down to the launch pad. We are opening our annual holiday kind of market with 60-plus vendors, mostly local makers from jewelry and candles. And we've got pollinator chocolate, all kinds of stuff. We're getting deliveries this week, and we'll start setting up the shop. And it's just exciting to see what everyone's been creating this past year. And, yeah, it's just a really fun time. And then it'll be open almost every single day through Christmas Eve. So lots of chances to enjoy Deck the Walls.
Yeah, the magic is happening in the launch
the
pad
magic.
Right now.
That's right. Michael's in the mood for magic.
I always. yeah. And then in other news, we just opened an application for Carbondale Arts Creative Apprentice Project that will be taking place from January through June of next year. And that's open to teens 14 to 19. Hmm. Gives them a chance to kind of learn about the different creative fields. This project will involve making some work that will be like temporary installations outdoors. There's a few locations along the Artway in town that we're looking at inviting them to collaborate and create some projects on. And then really excited about the opportunity for their kind of the work that they create in that process and the documentation of those projects to also be displayed in the gallery at Carbondale Arts. So the first Friday in June will be the opening for that show. It's a youth arts showcase. It's going to feature the Creative Apprentice Project as well as work from some youth who have been working with Gabriela Mejia at Stepping Stones. She's been kind of a teaching artist resident there from the summer and through June. So excited to see what they come up with for that exhibit as well.
What's the application process like for any teens? And what's the age range for that?
It's 14 to 19.
Okay.
There is an application online that can be found at carbondalearts.com/edu.
Okay.
It's a pretty simple application. It's really just a couple questions, name, age, kind of what their interests are in art, and then just if there are any kind of like social issues that interest them. One of the things that we really like to connect to is the youth perspective and making sure that, A, they're getting some of the tools to share their voice, but also the platform to kind of share their perspective on things. And so people who have interest in environmental issues or social justice issues are encouraged to bring that, and it's really open to any kind of art form. We're not looking for any real previous experience, just an interest in art. And that can be an interest in photography. It can be an interest in creative writing. It can be an interest in drawing, kind of any medium that you can imagine that you're excited about exploring more. We'll find a way to give you that opportunity.
And this isn't really the first Creative Apprentice is it?
No, this will be the fourth. We've done two zine projects. One kind of most recently with Lindsay Jones. It was kind of a guide to Carbondale that had a lot of snarky youth perspective. If you haven't found
that, loved it. I loved it.
You should find a copy. There's a few copies left at the launch pad. And then last year we did a fashion show as a community fashion project with Raina Katzenberger, Project Shop, Savannah, and we had six apprentices that kind of collaboratively designed a line that was featured in the fashion show. Right. So it was exciting to see kind of that connection between Carbondale Arts education programming and the fashion show come together.
No, I just love that deeper level of engagement that the Creative District is going for with these programs. It's very cool to watch. And let's see. I know you can learn about all this on the internet at carbondalearts.com. There's a whole Creative District tab at the top where you can drop down and look at everything.
Yeah. There's a lot of great information about the Gateway artists that we were just talking with, the sculptors as well as the muralists, and all the other kind of projects that we've been working on, the Youth Art Park, etc.
Excellent.
First Fridays is also there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
First Friday.
We just wrapped up with the November one, but we're already kind of gearing up for Light Up Carbondale, which will be a great festivity here in the beginning of December.
Santa's coming to Carbondale. Right? Isn't that what? Yeah. I think that's
pretty sure he'll show up. I don't know.
That's right. He does have a busy schedule, but December 6th, First Friday. I do want to shout out a little shout out to Lindsay Jones, my friend and cohort, co-founder of Drawing Club. If you're not aware, Drawing Club is turning 7 this next week. Started out in 2017, and we're going to have a little birthday anniversary party during our weekly Drawing Club here at KD&K in the classroom, starting at 6:30 on Tuesday, November 12th. So if you want to come draw and play some drawing games, and it'll be a potluck celebration, come on by. It'll be fun. Or follow us on Instagram, RF Drawing Club. I think that about does it for me. How about you?
That sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Michael, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
The Carbondale Arts Community Engagement Director. And also many hats. Holy smokes. All right. Thanks for listening to Express Yourself. We will see you next week. Happy Friday.